Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and it's Friday. That means we're talking to Julio Diaz, our friend and the host of Let's Go Pensacola. You can hear him at 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio, and also he is the host of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Julio Diaz, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. The last voyage of the Demeter, am I saying this right?
Yes.
And...
So this is based on a portion of the novel Dracula. If you've ever read the novel, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't. In the original novel, there's a portion that is the logs of the ship that brought Dracula from Transylvania to London. And it's just told through the logs of the captain. So it's, you know, a lot of very vague. You know, there's unease among the crew. The first mate is
okay. I got
yada
it.
Yada, that kind of thing. So somebody got the bright idea to turn that into a movie, which is, you know, is an interesting concept. You know, it's a hardwood book that's not fleshed out. It's a version of the tale that we really haven't seen much of in previous Dracula adaptations, if not at all. You know, the many Dracula adaptations just basically start with them showing up in London. So, you know, credit for the idea, you know, you can probably tell by the way I'm saying that.
Yeah, I feel a setup coming. I feel like you want to give them the benefit of the, hey, you tried a new dish, son, and they don't all work out.
Yeah, and that's fair to say. And, you know, it's unfortunate because it's a talented cast, you know, including... Liam Gallagher. That would be interesting, but no, not Liam Gallagher, but the guy who played Davos Seaworth on Game of Thrones, Liam Cunningham, and David Dastmalchian, and you know, really strong cast, well shot, well acted. Not very good.
Okay. All right. And I know that genre is your jam. So if you say it's not good, then I will certainly take your word for it.
It's just long stretches of boring. And the Dracula is not really a character so much as a force of nature in this movie, which is, again, a kind of a fun idea. But, it just doesn't click.
The idea has to be executed properly. It can't just be the clever concept. What about what about Jules this week? What's this one about?
So I saw this one described as AARPET, which I thought was pretty clever. So there's an older gentleman who lives in rural Pennsylvania, played by Ben Kingsley. And a UFO crashes in his backyard, and he befriends the alien that lands in the UFO, and then the nosy neighbors get wind of it. You know, one of whom is Jane Curtin. Jane Curtin with aliens.
Okay.
Where have I seen that before?
Yeah.
In a comedy, because this is a comedy. You take your pick. You could either go to Coneheads or you can go to Third Rock from the Sun. Which is more where I was leaning. But, you know, the government gets involved. And so it's got a little bit of that ET thing going on, but it's more about, you know, about these people who are affected by the way, you know, this alien has come into their lives.
And the alien makes me think about my condition as a human being and all of the things I learned about myself. Ben Kingsley is a treasure. So I usually...
Well, yeah, Oscar-winning actor. And, right. You know, and actually it can be very good in comedy, too. You know, I really enjoyed him in a comedic role in Shang-Chi just a couple of years ago. So, you know... getting decent reviews on this too, running about 87%.
Oh, that's pretty high. Okay.
So, of the two movies this week, that would
that's
be
your
the
better
one
option. All right, what are you guys going to watch next week?
Well, I accidentally said this last week because I had gotten my dates mixed up. But Blue Beetle will be out next week.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, we talked about that. Okay. All right, well, looking forward to that one as well. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio. And also, look him up on Facebook on the Pensacola Movie Club, and then you can see what movies and interact with other people and have a good time. Julio Diaz, my friend, thanks as always for the good input, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
8:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The Transgressors Memorial Service comes up next. John Pickens is sitting in for Candy this morning with traffic on the fives.
That's right. Looking at the big board, no accidents to let you know about. Things are flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110, not seeing any delays. Right now, even Highway 90 is looking good. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got a plumbing issue, anything at all, a leak, a drip, a weird sound on the wall when you flush the toilet, you know you shouldn't get a sound on the wall when you flush the toilet. That's why I say that. And if that happens, that's a plumbing issue. And, you know, if it makes noise and then it doesn't make noise, that's not better. that usually means it's about to get even worse, and you want to get Barberry Plumbing in to take care of that. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Work, kids, finances. Your life has lots of moving parts. Let Gulf Winds help you keep them all moving forward. Our free digital banking tools make it easy for busy bill payers to manage the day-to-day. Our simple applications and low loan rates get mommy chauffeurs on the road fast. And our free accounts and low fees put extra cash in pockets so weekend warriors can have a splash more fun. We're here for you and everyone living life to the fullest. How can we move you forward? See all the ways at GoGulfWinds.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for Richard Dawkins, noted atheist and evolutionary biologist, for his bigoted, transphobic, hate-enabling comments on a recent podcast. And I have to warn you, this is very, very upsetting stuff. Prepare yourselves.
Sex really is binary. There's no question about it. You're either male or female, and it's absolutely clear. You can do it on gamete size. You can do it on chromosomes. To me, as a biologist, distinctly weird. People can simply declare, I am a woman, though I have a penis.
I am so sorry that you had to hear that. But in order to expel someone from the congregation of the people of the holy acronym string, we must bravely face the misconduct in its form. Now, I know most of you are willing to be charitable and imagine that he perhaps misspoke. I assure you, he did not, as evidenced by the similar comments of his co-host, Helen Joyce. And again, I warn you, This is painful to hear.
What we were talking about here was an intensely linguistic movement. Like, there isn't a sense in which a man can become a woman, except linguistically. Like, yes, okay, he can have operations. Most trans people don't have any operations, don't take any medicine. But that doesn't change your sex.
I'm so sorry. Is everyone feeling well enough to continue? Okay, good. You see, the pattern here is clear. Despite purporting to be lovers of truth, these two are clearly denying the conclusions of modern science that sex is entirely malleable and that gender is in the mind of the genital holder. We say sex assigned at birth precisely because our rainbow-infused science with extra tolerance glitter decrees that a person's sex cannot be known until they tell you what it is in the third grade or later. The body, the genes, and the reproductive capabilities are not relevant to sex or gender. What a person says is the only thing that matters. And as if she's making some bold observation, of course our movement is intensely linguistic. Language is the structure of beliefs, which are the basis of society. And creating a more just and inclusive world starts with a commitment to change the language of oppression into the affirmation of personal preference. Duh. We aren't tethered to some static notion of reality. We daily transcend and reshape reality into the stuff of unicorn farts and kaleidoscope whimsy we want it to be. And so we shall continue to do. Richard Dawkins, be gone. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Love for the Father.
Second, wife beaters. Or at least the practice of calling t-shirts of a certain style wife beaters. A class and cruel term used for years to impose a classist and sarcastic contempt upon the economically marginalized people who are plagued by addictions to alcohol, tobacco, Jerry Springer, single wide living, impulse control deficiency syndrome, and violent relational tendencies. Yes, the layers of oppression structured into this single disgusting name for a man's tank top style t-shirt should horrify us all. And as noted TikToker Jace Martinez says, the only people who don't immediately grasp the badness of this term are themselves the worst people.
I go to their profile and they're always like, every box is checked. It's just the worst people imaginable. Like, I don't like throwing around like incel and, you know, stuff like that, but like, it's kind of hard not to have that come into your mind.
So aside from avoiding desensitizing us to the reality of domestic violence, triggering its victims, and slandering advocates of shoulder liberation everywhere, this is just an obvious one.
I can't. But if you cannot understand why people don't want to casually throw around the term wife beater, I can't help you, dude. I just can't help you.
Indeed, dude. So we all agree this is a very bad term, but naturally ask, well, okay, what's the better replacement? Ned Flanders once called his tank top a wife blesser. St. Jonathan Van Ness of Queer Eye called it a wife lover. We tried our own hand at it and had mixed results. The wife respecter, the woman consent getter, the sleeveless feminist, and the emasculator. But in the end, we see that the apostles of wisdom at no less an authority than GQ magazine, in consort with the prophets of TikTok, have actually solved the language question for us.
Yeah, if calling a wife pleaser means I won't get the Andrew Tate fans, bummer.
That's right, the wife pleaser is so much more wholesome a word replacement. So be ashamed no more, light up your Winstons, drink your Miller High Life, enjoy your bright green artificial turf doormat, and proudly display your armpit hair while sporting your fifth wave feminist certified wife pleaser at the Gas and Sip this weekend. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to take a moment to praise the brave decision of Let's Make a Deal host and Whose Line Is It Anyway superstar Wayne Brady to publicly declare himself a pansexual. It's not often we get to talk about such important news and really celebrate a celebrity like this, but extra kudos to Wayne Brady for his Instagram post saying, quote, "In doing my work, I've come to see a few truths, one of them being that I want to be free to love whomever I want. This truth makes me pan and part of the LGBTQ+ family," end quote. Yes, we see you, Wayne, and we honor your decision to seek sexual gratification from anything that walks on two legs. As you rightly ask, why should there be any limits at all? Love everyone and let everyone love you repeatedly and without palimony. But this does raise a serious question about our beloved holy acronym string. You see, I've been nurturing a growing concern that we might be undermining our own movement by including bisexual as the B in LGBTQ+ nomenclature. Now, before you gasp, hear me out. I fear we may be unintentionally marginalizing all the other sexualities out there through the implication that there are only two sexes and therefore only two types of sexual attraction, hence the bi in bisexual. Of course, we know there are at least 378 documented sexualities as of this morning, and therefore a continued use of the B in our holy acronym string is regressive, judgmental, and frankly unscientific. So here's my humble proposal for the High Committee on Acronym Inclusion and Modernization to consider. Let us replace the B with a P, which can simultaneously stand for both polysexual and pansexual, and show that we're not too proud to revise even our own key identifications. Therefore, up with Wayne Brady, up with sex between everyone who consents to it, no more B for bigoted, and let us rejoice in being allies of LGBTQ plus people everywhere. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before we dismiss, a few announcements. Please keep Shimon and Clyde Pennyweather in your mantras after the terrifying ordeal they suffered this week when they realized that they had accidentally purchased strawberries from a farm that is next to another farm that still uses a diesel tractor and does not individually name their chickens. I know! Imagine if it were you. And look, we know Clyde and Shimon had all the best intentions and did their very best to be sure they were living virtuously, but somehow this slipped through the filters. What is this world coming to when you can't even do your basic due diligence on food purity? So obviously the guilt has been crippling, but ignorance of the violation is not an excuse. And if the Fellowship Restoration Committee approves their application to rejoin our congregation, we expect them back with us by November.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
With your lit up Winstons. 826 on News Radio 92.3.
Dude, I can't stop laughing.
Shoulder liberationists comment. Everywhere.
Yes.
All right. John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives. John.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. That's going to delay your travels. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. Highway 90 is still looking good, too. Remember to slow down in those school zones. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. Some people texting, I thought Wife Beater was banned a long time ago. Well, sometimes you do a throwback. It just came in the news recently this week, and somebody else said, hey, lay off the Miller High Life. No, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, Miller High Life is actually the champagne of beers. It's good.
That's right.
That's of all the Miller products, that would be the one I would actually drink. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
But are there really farms out there that don't individually name their chickens?
I can't believe
it's,
that.
It's not that there are such farms. It's that it's hard to tell. They're not very good at disclosing to those of us who care about such things. That's the issue.
They should have little stickers.
Woe to all who offend.
Basic food.
Yes. Woe to all.
Diligence is hard, my friends.
A hearing in special counsel Jack Smith's election interference case against former President Trump set for this morning. It'll likely determine what rules need to be imposed in the handling of evidence. Trump not required to attend that hearing. Target recalling 2 million scented candles. They say they could shatter while burning. The recall affects 5.5-ounce one-wick candles and 20-ounce three-wick candles that were sold in glass jars. And this weekend, look towards the sky at night. It's the annual Perseid meteor shower.
Nice.
That runs from mid-July to August, but it peaks on Saturday night. And they say you could view anywhere from dozens to hundreds of meteors per hour.
Yeah, no, the Perseids are fantastic. That's great. Thanks so much, David. I've got a story here I have not had a chance to talk about yet. I'm probably going to run out of time before I finish it here. But former President Trump irritated me this week when he posted after the USA women's soccer loss what I thought was a particularly petty Truth Social post. He said, the, quote, shocking and totally unexpected, end quote, loss by the U.S. women's soccer team to Sweden is fully emblematic of what is happening to the our once, that's all in there, what is happening to the our once great nation under crooked Joe Biden. What does it have to do with Joe Biden? Many of our players were openly hostile to America. Okay, that's true. Mm-hmm. No other country behaved in such a manner or even close. Woke equals failure. That's his all caps. Nice shot, Megan. That's Rapinoe who missed her penalty kick. Nice shot, Megan. The USA is going to hell, MAGA. Okay, the hostility of the team towards the anthem, the woke behavior by Megan Rapinoe and others on the team, that was all true 4 years ago also. That was all true when they won the two prior World Cups.
Right.
So, you know, you can't say it's because of her hair and their wokeism and Joe Biden, and, you know, like what, they won under Trump because it was Trump? No, they were the same then with the same critiques and the same, you know, challenges. And so laying that to blame here just doesn't make any sense. It's bizarre. Now, I will say there is a mean argument. I won't say who said it to me, but there is a mean argument to be had here that, well, this is what happens when women get equal pay. I did not say it myself. Somebody else said it. Well, I will not name. Because we got this whole, like, lazy girl summer jobs, right? You know, take
the... Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Well, let's just move on. David Wayne, he's got your local news coming up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Survival and trauma in Hawaii. 1,000 people unaccounted for in the Maui wildfire. With cell towers and power out, the town of Lahaina and hundreds of homes destroyed.
When the mayor said it's all gone, it's all gone. It's all gone. It's gone.
The police chief there, 55 known dead, local Amanda Cassidy and her boyfriend got out.
We were right next to it. I think we spent maybe 5 to 7 minutes packing.
Lost everything else. Amanda escaped Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans 20 years ago. Donald Trump's legal team faces off with the DOJ today in federal court on what he can say about his federal trial for election interference. At the Iowa State Fair, Mike Pence says he'll take the pledge. Presidential candidate Pence tells Fox he'll sign the GOP loyalty pledge to support the party nominee. What if it's Trump? Pence says he's confident voters will choose new leadership. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now, 87 degrees, partly cloudy skies for your Friday morning here in Pensacola. A Pensacola man arrested after a months-long investigation. It all started after a fentanyl overdose. Someone died back in January. PPD spokesman Mike Wood says 38-year-old Quante Sanders was the alleged drug dealer. He's now charged with both trafficking drugs and homicide.
There were some narcotics that had fentanyl in it, that had too much fentanyl in it, that resulted in the death of an individual, and that's why he was subsequently charged with homicide in the matter.
And in June, Sanders was arrested after allegedly delivering fentanyl, meth, and mushrooms to undercover law enforcement agents. Wednesday, he was arrested again on a homicide warrant. NOAA updating their storm prediction from a near normal season last May to now an above normal hurricane season.
We are now predicting the likely ranges of tropical storm and hurricane activity to be 14 to 21 named storms, of which 6 to 11 could become hurricanes, and 2 to 5 of those could become major hurricanes.
That's Matthew Rosencrantz. He's a meteorologist with NOAA. He says the main factors in the change in their forecast are a delayed El Nino and warm sea temperatures. The warm water, they say, more conducive to storm development. Covenant Care opening a center that'll be dedicated to supporting kids that are going through grief. It's going to be called Nani's Place. Nani, a variant of the word for grandmother in Italian. And the hope is it'll serve as a place for care, encouragement, and love. It'll be open for kids 5 through 18.
The different component is that we are clinically developed, clinically led, and clinically delivered on site.
That is Aaron West with Covenant Care. The programs available at Nani's Place include one-on-one counseling, group therapy, art therapy, and Camp Connect. It'll be located on North Palafox, and there's more information online at choosecovenant.org. Santa Rosa County officials say that new traffic light over at Wallace Lake Road and Chemukla Highway is going to be delayed for a few days because of utility issues. So as a result, the sheriff's office will be out there doing traffic control during arrival and dismissal times for the new Wallace Lake K-8 school. Motorists advised to just be careful and expect some delays when they're driving in that area. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis hinted that he may be willing to use drone strikes against Mexican drug cartels, that is, if he's elected president. During a campaign stop yesterday in Iowa, DeSantis said as president he would use, quote, whatever force we need to take down the cartels, and he says with or without help from the Mexican government. DeSantis made that comment when he was asked if drone strikes on Mexican soil would be on the table. He said that the cartels are like foreign terrorist organizations. PPD investigators say they're still looking into those recent anti-Semitic vandalisms across the community, and there could be more arrests coming. Last week, four teenagers were arrested. They all face hate crime charges. The vandalisms included swastikas being spray-painted on several buildings and street signs around the area, and bricks being thrown through synagogue windows. And PPD said they pulled out all of the stops in the investigation. And again, more arrests could be possible as the investigation wraps up. 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has a look at our traffic.
That's right, brought to you by Indeed.com. Make your next hire fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Taking a look at the roads right now, not seeing any accidents to let you know about. And looking at the big board right now, not seeing any delays on 110 or I-10 or even Highway 90. It's just got a small little delay there in Pace. But other than that, that's a look at your traffic.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. A very hot and humid day today. Another heat advisory in effect starting at 11 a.m. lasting until 7 p.m. Temperatures topping out near 97 degrees, feeling more like 100 to 115. 30% chance of rain today. Rain chance increasing as we go into Saturday to 40%. High on Saturday near 99 degrees. Another heat advisory likely with temperatures Saturday night staying in the 80s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
That temperature's still climbing. It's 87 in Pensacola, 87 in Gulf Breeze, 86 in Milton, and seeing the heat index hitting around the 104 mark all around the area right now. Your money now. The market's opening not a huge change this morning, down just a little bit. The Dow is down 2608 at 35,150.07. S&P 500 down 1503 at 44,5391. NASDAQ down 76.56 at 13,661.43. Our 10-year bond rate is up today at 4.15%. Gold prices are down 110 at $1,947.80. Silver prices at $2,276 today. And crypto, Bitcoin is up, but not by a lot. Up $2,216 at $29,407.87. The Supreme Court blocking opioid maker Purdue Pharma from moving forward with a $6 billion bankruptcy deal. Yesterday's decision comes after the Biden administration raised objections about the settlement that would have shielded the Sackler family from future lawsuits related to the opioid epidemic. And mortgage rates up for the third week in a row, just under 7% now. The 30-year fixed rate mortgage averaged 6.9% this week, according to data from Freddie Mac, compared to 1 year ago when it was at 5.2%. Freddie Mac's chief economist says the steadily high rates will prolong affordability challenges longer than expected. It's 8:37. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Everybody was calm. I said a hip hop.
I didn't know it was perfect.
The hip hop, the hip hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Oh, man, what a week. And to finish on a day today when I spent, like, all my week watching this TDC meeting, which was... very rewarding from a radio perspective. Very interesting, and all I can think now is great. I got to watch this meeting now. I added another meeting I got to watch. It's not too much to be watching the Pensacola City Council, the Milton City Council, and the Santa Rosa Commission, the Escambia Commission.
It's exhausting.
My God, you know, and now I'm watching the flipping TDC. For goodness sakes, are you kidding me? So anyway, joining me in studio here, we've got Ray Walker, a good friend, Ray Walker. Ray, welcome back.
Thank you.
What are you officially? You want to be official something?
I'm the
past president of.
I'm still the current.
Oh, the current president. I'm trying to move you out.
Chamber.
Okay, Pensacola
yeah,
Chamber.
Still for another month.
All right, and then John Singley, our good friend who runs Studio 850, the best alternate video resource on the planet. For you know, because seriously, like. You know, hey, like I call some PIO, and I'm like, is this meeting going to be recorded? No. And I'm like, John, are you? Yeah, we're doing it. I'm like, all right. So, you know, all the time.
And the socials.
Hey, get up on the mic there, John. You're a little bit far from the mic.
The socials are throttling us back. So the future of the video on the socials is.
You know, I hate to, I never know what to think when, like our page, our news radio page, it seems like we're not getting the same kind of results we got even
you're
a month
not.
Or two. And, no. I'm thinking to myself, so are we, you never know if it's us or them, right? And I'm assuming it's them, but you're seeing the same thing?
Yeah, yeah. It's they've said they need server space for the TikTok, the one-minute deals, and they're not interested in anything
Long-form
more than a minute.
Video.
And so you're getting throttled back.
Wow.
You think you're sending stuff out, but it's not going out.
Yeah, so and anyway, I mean, you want to publish it for the people that you think would enjoy it, and then they don't see it in their feed, so they don't see it, right?
And so Facebook says they've turned their financial fortunes around by being TikTok. So...
Well, I mean, given the mob scene that was created in New York, have you seen, I don't know if you followed this story at all, but the Twitch streamer, the gamer, told people there was a big giveaway.
Yep.
And I don't have the cuts available, so I can't give you the evidence to prove it. I just didn't have time to put them together today. But listening to this person talk and thinking about him being followed by millions of people just makes me cry. Like, that somebody of this low caliber, you know, like that's the leaders of the generation. We're doomed. I don't know how to make a call.
And the whole term
influencer,
influencer drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Yes. Because most of the people that they say influencer shouldn't have influence on anybody.
Right.
I mean, exactly it's what you're talking about. But they use that term and these people are making money just because they're influence. It baffles my mind and does make me cry.
I hate to be the old person in a room of old people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But it's, I mean, a little bit of like censorship might go a long way. I mean, it is full blown everything that the ancient Greeks worried about a democracy, which is when, when people, it's the lowest common denominator, basest desires, feed that, encourage that, repeat.
Yep.
You know, you can say TV did it for decades, and that's true, but social media has accelerated that process dramatically, and, you know, we just want more and more of the crap. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
We're addicted to it.
And they're cultivating the addiction to crap. That's the amazing thing.
Yep.
Okay, so let's talk about other stuff, because I just get worked up, and it's amazing. Okay, so the school library story. What do you make of this story, John?
Funny you should mention that. As most of the reporters and the media people know, they were being told over the weekend by various people that the school libraries are going to be closed when school opens. So Saturday afternoon, I talked to Keith Leonard, the new interim superintendent. Mm-hmm. He said, John, that's not true. We're screening the books per the state statute. Libraries will be open. And so then he's confronted come Monday morning with the worst of all possible worlds, pictures of crime scene tape around library shelves.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's like, now what's the message?
This doesn't feel staged at all.
No.
Go on.
So, you know, clearly talking to board members and others, there was an effort by various people in the district. And I think the superintendent said that here recently, that there were – people not aligned with the policy. And they were doing things that some would say were rogue. And the news media, of course, gobbled that up because it's a disconnect, you know, between front and back. And it was a great story.
Yeah, it's very captivating.
Yeah.
I'm with you. And I had somebody texted me, and I don't have an opportunity to follow up on it, but somebody said, you know, actually they scheduled it so that media specialists and teachers could come in earlier and go through the books and make sure everything was good. So they actually planned to try to do as much as possible to avoid this problem. And in some of the classrooms where they're claiming that it was, you know, didn't get done in time because it's not that those are folks who didn't come in to do it, and other folks did come in and do it, and they're just fine. And I had another person suggest to me, and I hadn't even been thinking this way, I just don't have a malicious enough of a mind. Apparently, I'm not Saul Alinsky enough, but he called it malicious implementation. He said, it's a deliberate hyperbolic compliance in order to make a point that, you know, this is a crazy. So it's a political protest, you know, sort of in the garb of obedience, you know, like the kid who's, well, you can, you know, make me sit down, but on the inside, I'm standing up, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, for years, the Federal Aviation Agency, whenever OMB told them, hey, guys, we're going to cut the budget 3% this year, give me your cuts, they'd always say, cut number one, O'Hare Chicago Tower.
Yeah, right.
So
we're going to take a haircut off the main gun.
It's the old overreaction to make a point.
Yeah.
And just, well, okay, that's what you want. Well, I'm going to go, you know, the 3% cut, I'm going to give you a 7% cut just,
yeah,
so you
just
see
to
how
show you how bad it is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's that same reaction just to make a point, and it just shows they're trying to show the absurdity, but they're actually showing their own ridiculousness. Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, this all feeds into the legislature's ton of new legislation this year. Affecting schools,
anti-woke, like the cell phone
don't
thing.
Say gay, yep. Oh, cell phones, yeah. Bathrooms.
Right.
And so these districts are struggling to follow
it's
the law.
It's a lot to keep up. It really is for the teachers, for the administrators, for sure. And you know, on the other hand, I keep wondering to myself, I understand that there are some books that we can, you know, reasonable people can disagree about.
Right.
But there are some books that you can't possibly think that's supposed to be in the hands of kids.
Yes.
Nobody thinks that's supposed to be in the hand, unless you're some wild anarchist who thinks that everything that functions in a society ought to be thrown away and sexualization of kids is a good thing. There are some books, the ones that Governor DeSantis has been featuring particularly, that are like, you can't even have those on the air.
Romeo and Juliet.
Because, well, now that's...
wait a second.
That, I would also style that as a malicious implementation. You know? Well, we will obey this law, and guess what? It means no Shakespeare. And I'm thinking, what Shakespeare did you read?
I don't remember
that at all. We're talking to John Singley and Ray Walker here on The Wrap on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens is in for Candy today with traffic on the fives.
That's right. Not seeing any accidents to slow you down right now. I-10, I-110 still flowing smoothly. Even 98 got a little delay right around Tiger Point. Other than that, things are looking good. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Mm-hmm. All right. My favorite subject, Milton.
Oh, no.
Now, John, actually, you've been filling in for Joe Ford recently,
right.
And you were telling me that you guys did a Milton story on the news wheel in the afternoon.
Yes, we did, and I wanted to do the Days of Our Lives music, because that's what he does, and it stuck in my head, so when we did that one, and so I was like,
you wanted to play
those are the Days of Our Lives, you know, and it was just hilarious.
The connection.
Yeah.
So, you know, in case y'all haven't been following it, right, they had – so there was all of the drama around the failure to hire the city manager. Right. And then you had a special called meeting by Heather Lindsay that got canceled. And then you had another special called meeting against Alex Andrade that he didn't even know about that got canceled. And then you had the actual special called meeting that they held against Alex Andrade, and the board voted down the motion to get rid of him. And then you had the follow-up special called meeting after the allegations of HR violations and exceedance of authority and alleging of conspiracies and failure to redact information about people's private information by the clerk, Don Molinaro. They had that special call meeting, and they voted to fire her on a narrow 5-3 vote, but they did vote to fire her. And still, we're not anywhere close to healthy. I mean, we're not. This is not done. The main players who are at each other's throats constantly are still there. And honestly, I think, you know, even though, okay, Dawn has left, and she was in some degree one of the sources of the trouble. I think, well, she was trying to do right, I think, frankly, but just a really bad way of doing it. But Randy's gone now, too. Randy Jorgensen is leaving. Yep. And if anybody is like the anchor of the town.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Now he's gone. And there's no, I mean, Chief Tyndall's going to step in, but, you know, he's a cop. He's not the manager of the city. What do you foresee, Ray?
Well,
I mean, you've seen dysfunctional organizations before.
Believe me, yeah.
Have you seen anything like this?
I work in state government.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. So this seems like easy pie to you.
No. So just. When you say all the meetings about Alex, as an elected official, if I'm Alex Andrade, I'm like, why do I want to have anything to do with these
people? I asked him that question, and, you know, he's like, look, it's public service. I'm here to help. I care about the city. You know, he doesn't get paid his full rate, his half his rate for the, you know, for doing this.
But still.
But he wants. Yeah. But if the good people leave.
Well, yeah. No.
If the good people don't run for office, if the good people leave when it sucks, I mean, who's left to run it?
Well, and that's part of the issue is running for office has become basically open your life to torture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just bear everything open and go through the worst colonoscopy ever.
Yeah. Don't delete your text messages, and whatever you do.
No, right. And as soon as you do that, then you're asking the question, why do I want to put myself and my family through that?
To get paid less. Than you can make in the private sector.
And so
that doesn't end when you get elected.
No.
I mean, that's not like just the campaign is awful. That's the beginning
the
of the pain.
People are not running.
I know.
And it's left to the crazies. And well, just call it what it is.
There are names we can name it. Let's just say there's a lot of dissatisfied customers right now with the political process, right? And yet, you ask people who might otherwise be gifted and capable and could run. You're like, are you going to run? No.
Nope.
Oh, hell no. Right, because who wants that? Look, I don't think I'm electable, frankly. People always tell you ought to run for office. I don't think I'm electable for a variety of reasons, and it's fine. but I wouldn't want to be it. I mean, who would rightly want that? And yet, if the good people don't step up, guess what, John, right?
Yeah. So Andrew, I haven't been following the Milton saga, except through your broadcast. But we've had...
Our soap opera.
Yes.
What should we think about allegations of downloading computer files, kind of like personal cell phones and text messages?
Yeah.
All this electronic data mining has... Legal, not legal, public record, not... So what's your take on that, Andrew?
So I have long said that I think that there are parts of the Sunshine Law that I think are really counterproductive, okay? I've never lived in a place where the officials couldn't talk to each other off stage. And they can at Tallahassee as long as they're, like, in session or whatever. And they do anyway, I'm sure.
Yeah,
okay?
So the beauty of the Sunshine Law
is it doesn't apply to them.
The legislature passed it for local officials and everybody else, and it doesn't apply to the legislature.
It's just
the beauty of the Sunshine Law.
It's just like the business impact requirement. Like, you got to do a business impact declaration whenever you pass a new restriction, but that doesn't apply to Tallahassee. Like, that's insane hypocrisy. But so I have always said I see why things can get done in the back room when nobody's watching. I actually understand that. But okay, the law is the law. And the other part of it is when there's a public record, right? If you write an email, if you produce a document, if you make a text, if you chat somebody on Facebook or whatever, if it's in print, that is a public record if it's business. And the public has a right to know those things because that's our watchdogging of the process to make sure that there's no secret stuff. But, I mean... The people who are smart, and they're all not dumb, they know how to not make a public record. Oh. And I'm not – look, like, for example, it is perfectly legal for Commissioner Barry to talk to County Attorney Allison Rogers. And to talk verbally means there's no public record.
Right.
Okay? Well, if you think that the full scope of what's happening in Escambia government is happening through print, text, and chat – oh, you're an idiot. They're doing what they're doing through verbal, which is normal in an organization. Yeah. But when you know that text gets turned into a public record, well, you avoid that. Or you don't if you're, again, Commissioner Burgash. But he's not special. All of the elected officials text on their private. You can't help but. I mean, now some do it more. Some don't allow those things to be disclosed. They're supposed to maintain those public records. I've made records requests on other people's head. I mean, you don't get a satisfying answer on this at all because there's apparently no will to prosecute. Now, I haven't yet talked to Ginger Bowden about it, but I will because I have a councilman in the city of Milton that I am convinced is breaking the records law right now. And we have a commissioner in Escambia County that I think is probably breaking it, but... You know, I don't have that evidence just yet. So, John, I don't know if I answered your question, but...
Well, I just thought it was unusual because, you know, the number one rule in the Singley PR playbook is never put your name on a document you wouldn't want to be on Andrew's radio show.
That's right. So, when I chat and text and even how I answer chats and texts, I'm always thinking, what if this gets out?
Yeah.
Okay. Be aware of that. And I'm not even a public official. For the public officials, of course. You know, it should be. I asked Wes Moreno yesterday a question that I know he didn't particularly like, and that's okay. I like Wes a lot. I've known him for years. We get along great, but, you know, sometimes my job is to ask a question they're not going to like. I asked the question, well, why not put the private phones on the system to archive the texts? And he said no. And I know he represents a board that's going to say no. They're going to say no to that request. Right. But that, given, I mean, 60,000, and most of those are probably personal for Jeff Bergosh. But the ones that aren't, I'm assuming into the thousands, are business. How does that become part of the record? Well, you could have a program like this that I'm sure they own already for the county phones that are public phones. So why not?
Well, and you know they do it because there's people you're going to talk to who are going to reach out to you on your private number because they're longtime friends.
Right.
And
because they have that number. Question. Absolutely.
Right. So you know there's business being discussed on the in the text on private. And
that's I don't really have a problem with that. That's exactly. I've known this person for 10 years exactly. before he was ever on the school board, and this is a number. And of course, the
number that I've always called was his personal number because that's the one I had. That's the one you have.
That's
right. I have a work number.
Right.
So I called it and did it. The systems are there. It's just a matter of what you use it.
Imposing them.
Here's an interesting thought. When I was a legislative aide in the working in Tallahassee, I only had a personal cell phone. But everything I did
Was archived.
Was archived because it was all I used. So they said, well, we got to put that in.
Yeah.
Wow. So the state, you know.
Right. So it's possible.
So it's absolutely possible. It's,
you mean 100%. You mean there's a system out there that actually works with this problem? Weird.
I know, right?
Well, as soon as I registered my work email to that device, it became subject to public records.
And by the way, in Santa Rosa, this is true too. I mean, like James Calkins, I've had records requests in for his personal stuff. I mean, I'm never going to see that stuff. And that's sad to have that be that you know that's the truth, but he's on his phone all day, you know, during the meetings all the time. And, you know, are we ever going to know what's true there? Again, to me, this is the law, and therefore it ought to be followed, and it ought to be honored when you make these requests. But if nobody's going to prosecute this stuff or if nobody's going to investigate this stuff, and if instead we're going to, you know, we're going to call the FBI on how the public documents got out, you know, that's the reason we call. Let's take a real quick break. Traffic on the fives, John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110, all flowing smoothly right now. And that's a quick look at your traffic on the fives.
All right. Fair enough. Gentlemen sports. Yeah, go ahead, John. You want to say?
College football.
I was going to
say.
Right.
Andrew, speaking of fog, the truth. I saw this morning, social media, the Dallas Cowboys are joining the Pac-12.
Oh, I saw that.
That's right.
Yes, I saw that.
Finally, a league the Cowboys can be competitive in.
They might win a playoff game.
I've got them at 500 by the end of the season.
So what do you see, Andrew? SEC, business as usual?
Okay, so I'm it's baseball season now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't talk about football till it's football season.
Okay, wild card, playoffs.
I will indulge you for a moment. It is preseason professional football, which means nothing's happening yet in football. Because it's not real football. It's silly football. But I'm looking forward to the season. Every year football comes around, it's going to be good. And I think that eventually, and I don't think I'm not saying anything special here. It's going to be the Big Ten, and it's going to be the SEC, and they're going to be like Division Zero. It's going to be like the Division Zero schools are going to be these 40 schools, and then Division One is going to be everybody who's outside of those two conferences. In my mind, what do you think?
I think it's about the same. I think this conference realignment's resetting the deck. It's hard to predict where it's going to go, but Georgia, LSU. The Alabama, the usual culprits, Florida A&M. Florida State is preseason ranked. So I don't know, Andrew. I would have to play the games and find out. But
It's basically. This is the football minor leagues now, right?
Yeah, it is.
These two leagues are the minor leagues of the NFL, right?
Oh no question. And that's all. I mean, how many of your draft picks came out of the Power Five conferences as they exist last year? I mean, the numbers, you know, in the, probably 97-98%?
Sure.
I'm just throwing out there. But all it is,
I mean,
is
you get
just,
camp tryouts, but you're not getting draft picks.
You're not getting draft picks.
Right.
And so you've got all of these. It's just going to be a matter of, okay, how are we going to do a minor league system for
which is what we're creating.
Evaluation.
And now with the name, image, and likeness stuff, maybe they can get paid a little too.
And they're going to get paid.
Yeah. They'll get paid more.
Absolutely.
All right. I hate to say it, but Rays and Braves fans here in the studio with me. Just a super quick.
Marlins.
Oh, and the Marlins. Okay.
Oh, and the Marlins.
Yay or nay on the new rules this year with the pitch clock,
good. Yay.
And the bases.
Yay.
I do
double
too.
Yay.
Love it.
I'm baseball is shorter, faster, more fun this year than it's ever been.
Love
That's
it.
All to the good. Gentlemen, thank you so
Listen
much.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
An Escambia County deputy has been honored by the Cantonment Rotary Club. We'll have more information on that right after this update from Fox News. Your News Radio 92.3.